Well, we're going to read the story of the angel coming to Mary, which we're going to sing about in a little while anyway. So Luke 1, 26 to 38. Thank you, Joe.
Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. You can find it on page 1026 in the Church Bible. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Amen.
Thank you. Well, I want us to think about that for a few moments together, and a couple of things that we want to say about that, and then two more. So I'm going to come down here, and not a lot of us this morning. We're a little bit scattered around, but it's great to see you all. What I want to know is how many of you have had a baby brother or sister, it's got to be one or the other, a baby brother or sister born in your house? How many have you had that? How many of you have got a younger brother or sister? Have you got a younger sister? Two younger sisters? And you both have, that's right. So you've had a baby born in your house. And you've had a baby born in your house. And you've had a baby born in your house. Have you had a baby born in your house? No. Except you. Have you had a baby born in your house? No. Except you. And you've had a baby sister born, haven't you?
This one here.
Yes. So, when you're... Oh, and Daniel's had a baby. When you have a baby born in your house, there's lots of things that you expect are going to happen. You expect that if you're parents, you expect that you're going to lose a lot of sleep again, just when you were beginning to get it back. And you expect you're going to be really tired, and you expect it's going to be wonderful, and you're also going to be really happy. And now, when we think about when Jesus was born, before he was born, Mary, who was his mother, she was visited by an angel. Now, your mums, I think, were probably not visited by an angel before you were born or any baby brothers or sisters were born. I don't know, but I guess probably not. But when this angel came to Mary, this angel gave her all sorts of things to expect about the baby who was going to be born. And the baby was going to be... Who was the baby who Mary was going to have? Yes, well done, Jesus. That's not a difficult one. Okay, so I want us to think about a few things. Now, there's some pictures coming up. And here's the first picture. Here's the first picture. Can you see that? What's that? What's that a picture of? What can you see on the screen? What's it a picture of? Okay, great to see you guys.
Somebody holding hands.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody holding hands. Do you think it would be like... That's like two people, isn't it? And one of them looks a little bit sort of higher up than the other one. The one with the black hand looks a bit higher up. And it's all sorts of things that the picture's drawn with words, which is really clever. Things like, don't worry, you'll be all right, I'm here to help you, everything will be okay, we'll get through, all that kind of thing. It's wonderful, isn't it?
A mum and a child.
It could be a mum and a child. Yes, it could be a mum and a child. Or?
Or a daddy and a child.
A daddy and a child, absolutely. It could be two friends. But what's that saying? Is it, well, the angel went to Mary, said, expect God's help. Expect God's help. In the passage that Jill read just now, when the angel visited Mary, Mary was pretty scared, because it's not like every day that you get an angel coming to visit you. And it's a bit unusual. And angels are probably quite big and kind of shiny and very powerful, because they're special messengers from God. And so, you know you don't mess with an angel. So the angel said something that tells us that Mary should expect God's help. Expect God's help. And the angel said, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Now, that was a phrase which you get in the Old Testament, which was the Bible that Mary would have had and would have heard and being read out and everything. And it was always something that somebody said, the Lord is with you, when something really difficult was going to happen. When somebody was in for a tough, challenging time, then they got this message from God saying, the Lord is with you. So when the angel came and said, the Lord is with you, then Mary knew that she was going to get God's help. That there was going to be something that she would need God's help for. And that was having Jesus and raising Jesus along with Joseph helping her and seeing everything that he would do and all that would happen to him. All the way through being a mum, and once it started, never stops, all the way through being a mum, God would help her. The Lord is with you, right alongside. But it's like holding your hand to help you through something. Like if you've ever been scared and your mum or your dad is there, or someone bigger and stronger, if they hold your hand, it just makes things a lot better. Maybe you've been walking in the dark or something. Just having someone hold your hand is great. And it just makes you feel safer and better. Expect, that's the first thing that Mary knew to expect. Expect God's help. Expect God's help. And when Mary got that, then something was written there by Luke, which isn't just for Mary, it's for all of us. We don't know what's going to happen in the coming year. Mary didn't know everything that was going to happen, but we can expect God's help all the way through the year. Like God taking us by the hand and walking with us through the year that's coming to give us his help. Even if things are difficult, even if things aren't always fun, God will help us and he's with us. Now there's another thing. There's another picture coming up. What's that? What's that? What do you think that is? Okay, hang on a second.
Soap.
Soap. Well, nothing smells better than soap and water. I think it might be soap. It might be like hand cleanser. Or any other guesses?
Perfume.
It might be perfume. I think probably. I think that one's perfume. I think the soap from the Philosophy range comes in sort of bigger tubs like that, and it's kind of shower gel stuff and all that. Pure Grace. Imagine perfume called Grace. Isn't that brilliant? Yes. But it might be hand cleanser. I don't know. If there are any experts on the Philosophy range, my awareness of the Philosophy range is fairly narrow, because you like going for the kill when you're a bloke, and you see it, and you go, boom, buy it, boom, off to the till, done. You don't spend a lot of time browsing through the entire range. So if anybody knows, if can tell me, is that soap or is that perfume? Similar. This is why it's called the Feast of St. Comatose. Pure Grace. Now, that's the second thing to expect that Mary should expect. Expect God's grace. Now, what on earth is grace? What is grace? Anybody know what God's grace is? Any of the grown-ups know what God knows? Oh, okay, Mitch. Yeah, you're awake. That's good. Okay.
Say God's unmerited favour.
God's unmerited favour. Fantastic. That's God loving us and showing us his kindness and his goodness, though we don't deserve it. In fact, we deserve the opposite. God's unmerited favour. And that's what the angel said. She said, the angel said to Mary, he said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured." And that word favoured is, "Greetings, you who have received loads of grace." Not perfume or soap, but loads of God's love. But there's another thing that said to Mary, expect God's grace, because the baby who is going to be born is, now we know he's Jesus, but there's something that he's also called. He's called the something, and the something means with S. He is the
Son of God.
Well, there's that as well, but there's something that speaks about grace. That means
the Saviour.
Excellent. Saviour. Saviour. God's going to rescue us. Going to rescue us from our sin and all that sin does to us. And the way it separates us from God, he's going to come and save us from that. And why? Not because we deserve it. We don't merit it. But because God loves us so much. He shows us his grace that we don't deserve. So he's going to save us. He'll save us from our own sins. He'll save us from the way sin gets a grip of us. He'll save us from being separated from God. He'll bring us back to God. He's a savior. So when the angel came to Mary, first thing she was told to expect, and we can expect this from God too, is expect God's help. Second, expect God's grace. You remember the two pictures? One hand holding another hand to help, and the other, the bottle there with pure grace written on it. Expect God's help. Expect God's grace. Now, there'll be two more later on, but I think you'll probably be upstairs by then watching something else. Okay? So we're going to sing. And this is one that you know. But we sing at Christmas time. "Child in a manger born, lies in a cattle stall. Safely he's sleeping, Mary is keeping close beside her baby." This is a lovely one to sing. So we'll sing this one together. Thank you, Mark. Well, if we can have those first two pictures up again, just the first one. Thank you, Chris. Sorry, that means winding back a bit. I should have given some warning. What to expect from Jesus being born and the whole process of Jesus being born. First of all, expect God's help. And then, of course, after expecting God's help, then it is expect his grace. Mary, who had been highly favoured, found favour with God, and the grace of a saviour being born to us. Well, those are the first two points. There are two more from the passage. And the third one is this. Expect God to work. Expect God to put up an umbrella if that's what you think that man's doing. Expect God's work. The passage is absolutely full of the power of God. Now, the power of God is mentioned explicitly in verse 35. "The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you.'" The dunamis, that phrase dunamis, that word dunamis for power is often described in terms of dynamite. That's where we get the word dynamite from, dunamis, Greek for power. But dynamite is not necessarily the most helpful thing to think of in this context. I'm sure Mary would not have wanted to think of dynamite. And anyway, it's a bit later on than historically than this. If you want to get something that helps you understand what dunamis is about, then think of the dynamo. That used to get dynamos on your bike to make the light shine so the little wheel would whiz around when you put it against your bike wheel and it would hum a little bit too. And if you stopped, the light went out and you get hit by a lorry. Now, what's happening there is that there's the generation of power, which is making the light shine. That is, dunamis is the power to create something where there was nothing. Dunamis is the power to make things happen where otherwise they wouldn't happen. That's what power is about. That's what dunamis is about. It's God's ability to make something happen that otherwise would not happen. It's God's ability to create something where otherwise there would be nothing. So don't think of explosions. Think of that kind of generating light where there would be darkness otherwise. That sort of making things happen, making things come into being. So expect God to be at work. Expect God's work. That is, God is going to do something here which no man will be involved with. Joseph wasn't going to be involved with. God is going to come amongst us, not because we make it happen, but because God, by his grace, is going to come amongst us of his own power. So, of course, Mary is asking, how is this going to happen? What's it, you know, how can this happen? Well, the answer is, God will make it happen. Expect God to be at work. And that work of God is not simply going to be to cause Mary to conceive and bear a son, which is what verse 35 is talking about. But even before then, God is going to do something which no man could do, no woman could do. He's going to establish the throne of David forever. So if you're going to back up the passage a little bit, if you've got it open in front of you, you will be with child and give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. El Elyon, God Most High. That is God above everything else that's called a God. God above every other throne. God above every other power. God above every other dominion and rule and authority. So God above all gods. God above all kings and mighty people on the earth. God above all human strength. Those are things that revolve around this phrase, God Most High. Now, son of means one just like, you know, chip off the old block kind of thing. So here is the one who is the Most High who will be amongst us. That is, he's got all power. He can do anything. There is no power greater than him that stops him from doing his work. There is no work that he cannot do simply by willing to do it. So that for God, to will and to do are the same. There is nothing that God cannot do in this situation. Now, we'll come on to a little dimension of that in the next one. But the whole point is that God is at work. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 5? My Father is always at his work, and so am I. That is, there is never a moment when God is not active, involved, making things happen that otherwise would not happen. What to expect because of Jesus? What to expect in Jesus? Expect God's work. Expect God to display his power. Now, it is the same God that we worship, the same God that we trust. We have all the evidence of Christ coming amongst us, of everything that was spoken about to Mary actually happening. So these words about God's power that would establish the king forever, would establish a king like no other king because every other king dies, would have power over everything that would oppose him, so Herod wouldn't win, Pontius Pilate wouldn't win later on. When Herod wanted to kill all the children around in the slaughter of the innocents, that wouldn't win either. Every plot, every plan against his work would not win. He would win all the time and establish a throne that would never end. When God is at work, then it seems as if we are simply caught up in it. We aren't making the thing happen. We're almost watching God doing his stuff and catching up with him. Now, just as we think about God's help, the hand holding the hand, and just as we think about God's grace, so we also, when we're thinking about God's work, as demonstrated here, as proved in Christ's birth, life, death, resurrection, total power and sovereignty over all things, we are being given things to expect. What does God give you to expect in the coming year? What does God give you to expect tomorrow when you may be going back to work? With maybe that happy thought that it's only Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. What does God give you to expect when what he's doing is opening up a largely mysterious and unknown future to you? I mean, none of us know really what to expect tomorrow. We don't know what's going to be happening through 2015. As we look back over 2014, how much of what happened did we know last Christmas? Roughly zilch. That means nothing, if you're wondering. But has God been at work? Yes, he has. Has God done things that we couldn't have done? Boy, he has. Has God shown us grace? Completely. Has God been your help? Could you have got through this year without him? No. I couldn't. So you see, these are things which we are given to expect precisely as we face the reality of not knowing what is going to happen, despite our plans. Help, grace, work, God's work. And then the fourth thing, last picture, expect the impossible. This, you've seen this kind of optical illusion before, haven't you, where you follow them around, they're always walking up, and you think, well, how can that be? Because if they're always walking up, it's got to be a spiral. That is not a closed loop, but this is a closed loop. It's about a closed square. And yet these two people are always going to be walking up. If you sort of anticipate where they're going to be going, then they're always going to be walking upstairs. That's going to be incredibly boring because they're never going to get to the top. Now, that is a very well-known optical illusion. That's a model, a mock-up for something that, if you're familiar with the movie Inception, you have seen that was part of the set, sort of a mock-up of a set for Inception. Now, that is an optical illusion, and if you look at the next picture, you'll see how they did it. That's what it actually was like physically. And then if you move the camera angle, go back to the previous picture, thanks, Chris, you see if you shift the angle slightly, it looks like that. Isn't that clever? That's what it was. They're about to fall off and feel very silly. Now, expect the impossible. If you go back to the first picture, Chris, that's great. That is. Now, God is not doing optical illusions. I just wanted to show you in case you were sitting there thinking all the time, not listening to a word I was saying, thinking, how do they do that? So now you know, so you can shelve that question. Expect the impossible. In what sense expect the impossible? Well, that's what God says. Let's read from verse 35. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Jesus was going to say that later on when he was talking about going through the eye of the needle, and it's easier for a rich man to go through the eye of the needle than enter heaven. And the disciples were sort of really worried about that, and he said, well, nothing is impossible with God, meaning God can even get you to heaven. So he can do that. Nothing's impossible. Well, here it is before Jesus was born. Nothing is impossible with God. So fourth thing, expect the impossible. There's a sign above my office door upstairs, which is expect a miracle. Anybody entering there should expect a miracle. If they want to come out with any sensible answer to a normal question, that will be a miracle. If they expect me to be able to find something on my desk, that will be a miracle. Expect the impossible. Now, we hear that kind of thing around us, don't we? You know, the difficult we can do today, you know, the impossible you might have to wait until tomorrow. We encounter that kind of, you know, vague sort of almost throwaway, light-hearted comment around us in the world. But the whole point about the Annunciation and everything that follows is that that's what God is doing. God is at work, and God is not simply making things happen that we imagine and we could see happening and all the rest of it. That is, God is not simply an agent to make our stuff work and happen. But God does the impossible. Remember that the Bible tells us to pray to the one who can do exceedingly far above what we ask or imagine. There are things that we can look back over 2014 and we can say, I would never have dreamt that that could happen. That was like impossible. It was even beyond my wildest dreams. But God has done it. He's done it. Expect the impossible. We look ahead and we think of the way that as a fellowship we can develop and change and grow and have an impact in Aberdeen and the way that we want to see discipleship in Aberdeen grow. Impossible. Yes, impossible. Absolutely right. So give in before you've started? No. Because God does the impossible. You think of somebody that you're praying for, and you really want to see God in their lives, and you want to see them knowing God and experiencing what it means to walk with Jesus. I think, oh, impossible. Yeah, probably. Except with God, all things are possible. I used a phrase in a minister's letter a while ago that it goes something like this, that if your memories are bigger than your dreams, you're almost dead. Now, there's a kind of world's version of, you know, dreaming dreams, have big dreams and all that kind of thing, which is sort of devoid of God. It's sort of a celebration of human spirit. This isn't. This is real. This is a celebration of God. Expect the impossible. God says, nothing is impossible with God. So doesn't that broaden our horizons? Doesn't that expand our vision of what we can do? Doesn't that make us have bigger dreams? Doesn't that help us when we confront problems and difficulties and obstacles? Remember way back in the Old Testament, they were on the threshold of the Promised Land. Moses sent in 12 spies. They came back. They'd seen how wonderful it was. 10 of them said, it's impossible. 2 of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, God said go, we'll go. It's ours already because God said so. Which of those were exercising godly leadership? Which amongst those 12 were the most responsible? Who amongst those 12 were the most sensible? The ones who thought it was impossible, therefore God couldn't do it? No. Not godly. Not realistic. Not sensible. Not responsible. The 2 who said, it's impossible, but God's with us. He said it. Let's go for it. Sensible. Always sensible to bear in mind that with God, nothing is impossible. Always responsible to take God seriously. Always responsible, always godly, always the wise thing to reckon with a God who says, nothing is impossible. Always reckless to leave God out. Always reckless. Expect God's help. Expect God's grace. Expect God's work. Expect the impossible. God gives these things so that we might trust him, so that we might expect this, so that these would become normal presuppositions about life. The help, grace, work, and possibilities of God. So that we as a fellowship become those who, if you like, form a community of the helped, the graced, those who are worked amongst, and those who see the impossible. And Mary said, in modern parlance, bring it on. Instead of coming up with 1,001 reasons to play safe and be cautious and not let anything disturb her happy expectations about her cousin Elizabeth's little baby. Mary, 15-year-old girl, said, bring it on. Let the Lord's will be done in me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us to take your word to heart and to be encouraged through it and rejoice in it, for it is your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.